Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report, kicking off this Canada Day with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Hope everybody with me in Canada is having a enjoyable Canada Day, even though it kind of falls on Wednesday and really breaks up this week. But this is also a shortened trading week in the U.S. too, as Independence Day, at least the holiday, is falling on the Friday. Joel, let's just get your quick comments regarding trading in markets when it's a shortened trading week, but also the significance of end of the month and end of the quarter, the first half of 2020.
Good day, Corey. Thanks for having me. And I might as well endear myself to your listening audience. I am half Canadian. My mother was born in Windsor, Canada, so I am half Canadian there. So how do you like that? So I get to celebrate tomorrow, I guess, half a day, and then a half a day on the 4th of July. But anyways, I think what is going on today and over the last few days is people are anticipating, you know, a lot of stock to sell at the end of the quarter. Everyone's locking in gains. They want to get those bonuses. And you had a pretty good look at a down week yesterday. You took out Friday's low in the overnight session. You made a crack at it early Monday, but they couldn't press it. And the reason they couldn't press it down yesterday was Boeing. And, you know, that's a big stock. That's kind of your reopening stock, and that had a big day. Now, Boeing's giving back a lot of those gains today. That doesn't seem to be affecting the market. A seesaw, a couple. Well, yesterday it started out down, but they came back. Today's just a continuation rally. I think your option traders are probably a little bit more active with, only 4 days to trade this week. So that delta is just decaying on them, or not the delta, but whatever it is, the gamma, decaying on them. And then you got the jobs number on Thursday instead of Friday. So a lot of different factors. We've rallied pretty good off the job no matter what they've been. So the trend's been up. You had a pullback. They've been buying the pullback.
Yeah, well, isn't that the story of these markets, though? Consistently buying pullbacks. They are just not breaking down, these markets. How significant is this trading action? Again, almost as buy the dip mentality.
It's just no fear. It's just, and I think we can just relate this to, what's going on with COVID-19. If you look at what's going on in the news, you look what's going on in Arizona, you look what's going on in Texas, it's, Mnuchin had come out and said, hey, we're not going into a lockdown no matter what happens. And what I think what the market is saying to you here is, yeah, well, and I hate to paraphrase our POTUS, but you're doing more testing, you're going to get more positive results. Now, it takes 21 to 24 days, really, if you're going to get very sick from COVID-19 to pass away. So the rate of increase in the number of cases is different than the amount of deaths. Now, if you start getting a lot of deaths here in 2 or 3 weeks, then the market's going to tank again. But right now, the market's saying, yeah, more testing, more cases. But is it leading to more hospitalizations? I mean, I'll tell you, there's one thing during this whole crisis that freaked me out is when, and my wife's involved in the medical field, when she told me the hospitals are full. I mean, holy moly. Would you ever think in your lifetime that if you were sick, it might be a good idea not to go to the hospital? So as long as that's it, that was a pure panic situation. At this point, that's not materializing. And I think that's what the market's looking at.
Well, and it's just so specific or regional where the hospitals were filled, because even in Vancouver here, it was practically empty in these hospitals. People were afraid to go into the hospital. But hey, you look in New York and even in Italy, right? And they were completely packed. So it's that whole balance there. So with, let's say, the government saying they're not going to go through any major shutdowns, then you think the COVID news that could pull these markets down, because in all fairness, markets have been ignoring the increase in spikes, you think that news is going to be more about deaths, hey? Increases in deaths?
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Yep. Yep. And I think the economic fallout from all of this, we're coming up on Q3 earnings, or excuse me, Q2 earnings for most companies. If you look at it, January, February, March, that took care of the first quarter. So if you look at the crisis, it really, I mean, wow, things started to get a little dicey in February. March is when it got really crazy. And then the last 2 weeks of March is really when the lockdown and a lot of things that were going on. So a lot of these businesses, we're hanging on maybe to a strong first part of the quarter. So now this quarter is going to fully reflect, the lockdown and stuff. So I just don't know. I mean, a lot of these companies, they gave the bad guidance, they threw out the kitchen sink, they rallied. I don't know what their excuse is going to be this time. I mean, they could say, oh, well, yeah, this is our first quarter of COVID and this is what happened. But a lot of companies got a pass in Q1. I don't know if the market's going to give them a pass on Q2. I can't see how these numbers, except for the tech companies and related your COVID plays, I just think it's going to be really hard that for these companies to produce great Q2 numbers.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But when we look at the broad averages, hey, the broad averages, look at the S&P, it's been supported by five stocks, and that's all it needed to actually move up.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that, Corey. The way I do a majority of my trading is I follow the S&P index very closely. I've always tracked the top 10 stocks, right? And when I started tracking this, you're probably too much of a youngster, but you know what the top stock of the index was? This is
How
back.
long ago is this?
I would say I'll give you a little bit of a break on it. I say the early 2000s.
Early 2000s. A tech stock?
Nope. Oil, an oil stock.
Ah, energy, yep.
ExxonMobil.
Okay.
And you know who else was up there? General Electric. Yeah. And back in when I started tracking, those top 10 components made up 18 to 20% of the index, right? So I adjusted every quarter. With the combined Google, because I think that's fake, right? There's not really two Googles, there's one Google. If you take Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Google, and Facebook, okay, those five stocks, are you sitting down? Make up almost 30% of the S&P 500. 30%. Why do you need to own the other 409? Who cares about the other 495? I mean, you talk about an illustration of the concentration of where this rally's been, and that's it, man. There it is. Those stocks. And look at it today. Like when I'm looking at this market, and when I'm trading the S&Ps and I'm thinking of going short, I'm like, okay. Oh, Amazon up $68. That's probably not a good idea. Microsoft up $3.50. Well, that's probably not a good idea. Apple, I guess up 45 cents is a down day for Apple. Google up $9. Facebook up $9. What are you gonna do? What are you going to do when those stocks are screaming at your face? They're going straight up. So until those stocks crack, I don't see this market cracking.
So what's it going to take for these stocks to crack? There's still a lot of money being created. That money does seem to flow into the sector leaders or the general leaders in the market. What needs to happen for a correction here then?
I don't know.
Yeah, fair.
I don't know. Bad earnings, bad guidance, overall, just pure COVID-19 crisis, and these stocks perform well in that. So honestly, I just don't know. I mean, I guess maybe some super ugly inflation numbers, and everyone worry about that. But then they'll just put the inflation in the stock prices, and they'll take them higher. So I don't have a recipe here for these stocks going down. That doesn't mean they won't, but I just don't see. Maybe their earnings reports will reflect some weakness, but I doubt it.
Okay. What about the gold sector? We're chatting gold quite regularly. Gold is continuing to outperform and is having a, I think, fairly significant breakout, especially the gold price. The stocks are also starting to move. How are you trading this sector? How are you viewing this sector?
Ah, boy, oh boy. I've been saying to trade 1700 to 1800, and every time it gets down to 1700, I don't buy it. And now it's up at 1800, and it's been that long-term trading range. And I'm just like, this has been up here so many times that I just don't have the heart to short it. And we talked about this last week. Here you are, you got the 1804 today. It's tricky. I mean, are you going to wake up and gold's up $100? I don't know. But I think what's important here is instead of over a long period, you want to see 1800 be support, not resistance. So in order for that to happen, it has to bust through 1800 and then it has to come down. So if it busts 1820, 1830, and then they give it 3-4 cracks and they try and break it under 1800, yeah, then you could put your gold 1900, your gold 2000 cap on. But we talked about 1800 last week. It's still being pesky. I see we got the 1804 today. I'm not shorting it. Even though it's the top of the trading range, my hands are off on the short button on gold. And I also find gold just a very I just can't get an edge. You know, I've tried to trade it after the cash close, and they just move it, and then it's something where you have to have a position, and you have to take it home overnight. You have to be prepared for that action. And then during the day, it can move 10, 12, 14 bucks. You know, someone comes in to sell a piece, and for my kind of trading and my kind of risk-reward ratios, you know, 10 bucks stop on gold is a few shekels. So I haven't been real successful or real active in it. Let's look for multiple closes over 1800 and then 1800 to act as support level if it comes back down to it.
All right, Joel, always great chatting with you. Thanks for taking some time on this Canada Day. I hope everybody has a good Canada Day. And hey, Joel, good to know that you are a little bit Canadian as well.
All right, Corey, thanks for having me. I'll be back with you next Tuesday.